Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
I'm more to after that, Scarlett, I am. Anyway, we're looking for two people after 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock to take part in our whodunit quiz. Here's your qualifying question this Thursday afternoon. A tin of autographed baked beans has finally been sold this week for €128. Was the tin signed by Chris de Burgh or Jim de Burgh? 0818 715 925 and that great prize of a two-night break for two people in the Radisson Blue Hotel and Spa in Sligo. Now, The Miracle Club is a heartwarming film of friendship and family. It stars Maggie Smith, Kathy Bates, Laura Linney and our next guest, Mark O'Halloran. Good afternoon, Mark.
Good afternoon, Ray. How are you?
I'm good. You play Father Dermot Byrne.
I do.
I was looking at your IMDb. Is that your third priest to play? Or?
My mother is delighted. She couldn't quite make me into a priest, but I can act the priest every so often. I have done a few priests, all right.
Yeah. Now, why is that? Explain yourself, do you think?
It might be the beatific quality I bring to life, or the holiness I exude. I think it's an interesting one. Someone once said, are you worried that you're going to be typecast as a priest? And I was like, I don't care being typecast as anything, as long as the jobs keep coming, you know. But this was an interesting one in that Father Dermot Byrne, as he is called, he's nowadays, if you put a priest in a drama, people go, oh, is he creepy? And this priest is, because we're used to all the stories that have come out and the kind of dramas, and this priest is just a nice man. Mm. He's just a good person who's doing his best by his flock and the group of women that he's bringing over to Lourdes. And it was nice to play somebody with a warm heart and a good heart and trying to give advice to people. And maybe he's a little bit lost himself. But, you know, so that was kind of a fun and interesting challenge to it.
So it's based in 1967, a group of Dublin women on their way to Lourdes. And those things that you attributed to Father Dermot Byrne can be attributed to the movie as well, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, the movie, I think the movie is a kind of movie that is not made for, you know, it's for people who don't have a lot of movies made for them, I suppose. The cinemas are full of blockbusters or, you know, Oppenheimers or, you know, which are great and they have their audience. And this is for It has a warmer heart. Mm. It has a decency to it. It has a gentility to it. It talks about ideas of community and togetherness and how we need each other. And maybe the place of religion, or what the place of religion was in society at a certain point, and the need to have faith in something. So they're not always catered for in the cinema. So I think there is an audience for this kind of film, actually.
But it does ask questions of religion.
It does. You know, it's not a sort of given an easy ride to the church, and Father Dermot gets shouted at quite a lot in it. But it does also talk about faith and how we need to have faith in something and how we have to believe either in ourselves or in each other or in the community that we belong to, and how we can't just turn our backs on all those things. So I think that's in there.
I should have mentioned Agnes O'Casey as well. We spoke to her last week or the week before, and she is a star in the making, isn't she?
She is absolutely brilliant. Yeah. She's gorgeous. And she has this amazing lineage. She is Sean O'Casey's grandchild, which is just amazing. And she's a really beautiful human being. You know, she was gorgeous in the film. We had great fun making it, you know.
Yeah. So Maggie Smith, nearly 90, Kathy Bates, Laura Linney. Do you get nervous in the company of actors like that?
Well, the offer for this came in and they said, do you want to play a priest in this film? And I was like, oh, sure, oh, I don't know. And then they said, it's got Laura Linney, Kathy Bates and Maggie Smith in it. I nearly bit the hand off my agent who was offering me the script. I was like, oh my God, these people are fantastic. But I'm kind of like, I'm in my 50s now. I've been around the block a few times and I'm not nervous, but I bounced into work every day because it was joyous, because these are people that I love and admire. Kathy Bates, you know, Misery or Dolores Claiborne are some of my favourite films. Laura Linney, Ozark, I watched every single episode of it. Maggie Smith, you know, she's just a legend.
Yeah.
And so it was just amazing going into work, watching these people work and sharing scenes with them, you know. It was one of those joyous jobs.
You strike me as a person who's probably for most of your life comfortable in your skin, but are you more comfortable in your skin now that you're in your mid-50s?
Do you know, I think in your 20s you spend the time wondering, who am I? And you spend your 30s kind of going, I think I might be this. And your 40s you're going, I'm pretty sure I'm this. And then your 50s is like, ah, yeah, Let's get on with it. You are who you are at this point. And I'm a happy person, you know. Yeah. I think so anyway.
You're in London at the moment.
I am.
And you're in Portia Coughlan in the Almeida Theatre.
Yes.
How's that going? I read it's got a 4-star review in The Guardian.
Yes. I mean, it's a play by Marina Carr. Many people might remember it. It was produced originally in the Abbey as a co-production with a theatre in London in 1996. And it's a really dark play about a woman struggling with just her place in society and the loss of her twin who died when they were 15, and mental health issues, and a really dysfunctional family. And so it's a big, messy Irish play. And what feels great about it is now there's this Irish company of actors here. The Almeida Theatre is quite a posh theatre. It's up in Islington. And we're an Irish company doing this rough Irish play, playing it on the stage at the Almeida in London. And it just feels very powerful, actually. Mm. We're loving doing it. And it stars at the centre. The person who's playing Portia Coughlan is Alison Oliver, who was in Conversations with Friends. She is just extraordinary. She's, you know, just as Aggie O'Casey is going to be a big star, Alison Oliver is going to be huge, you know. She's a fantastic talent.
And you wrote some of those episodes, the screenplays.
I wrote for Conversations with Friends, I did. But it was, weirdly enough, I was writing them at the very early stages of lockdown. So, you know, I saw, you know, audition material and blah, blah, blah for people who'd come in. So I saw Alison, you know, auditioning, and I saw some scenes as they were filming them, but nobody could visit set because it was during lockdown. So I never got to meet her until, you know, the first day of rehearsals for this play. But we felt as if we knew each other, you know. My name was on the scripts that she was acting in, and I was like loving the work that she was creating.
I'm fascinated to know, Mark, about you being a playwright and being an actor as well in plays, other people's plays. Does it give you insight, or do you overanalyze things?
I feel like, do you know Wurzel Gummidge used to rip off his head and go, I've got my acting head on now, Aunt Sally. And when I put on my acting head, like, I'm only doing the acting, and I'm not, I think that some writers might feel it, might be uneasy about having me in their stuff because they feel I'd be criticising them, but actually I spend more time criticising myself and the bad acting that I'm doing than I would be criticising the writing. With this one, Portia Coughlan, though, like, it's a classic play, like, it's one of the great plays in the Irish canon, and so there's no criticism at all. It's just you kind of are in awe of the talent of Marina Carr.
And are you working on stuff now? Obviously you're acting in that, but are you writing away during the day?
I have been writing away during the day. This is our opening week over in London, so that was a bit rough, but it took up a lot of time. But I have been writing during the day. I'm writing an adaptation of a novel for American television. I have a screenplay about the jazz pianist Bill Evans, which we hope to get made next year. And a few other things in the offing. And sometimes I just write a thing for myself that hasn't been commissioned or whatever, write a play or whatever. So I have those ideas going around, and I am working away, yeah.
And it's still as easy as ever, is it? Or as difficult as ever? Which?
Oh, nothing's easy. I set myself, sometimes when you sit down to write something, you can get overwhelmed by the totality of it. And all I tell myself is just write 3 pages of dialogue a day. That's all you have to do.
Right.
And tomorrow, get up, do another 3 pages. The next day, another 3 pages. By the end of the week, you'll have 21 pages. By the end of whatever, 5 weeks, you'll have nearly 100 pages. Like, so just build it up slowly. Go from one line to the next rather than trying to write it all at once. Do you know that kind of way?
How many pages is the average movie?
Say that Adam depends.
And, yeah, I know. It obviously depends. I know, but I said average.
Adam and Paul, it's hard to tell with Adam and Paul because I have about 21 different versions of it on my computer. I would say Adam and Paul came in about 90 pages.
Right.
You know, something like Oppenheimer, you're talking about 200 pages, I'm sure. It also, the length of your screenplay depends on the size of your budget. You know, if you have a big budget, you can go a bit longer. But usually between 90 and 120 pages.
You mentioned Adam and Paul. That's 20 years next year, is it?
20 years next year, yeah.
Wow.
That is... It's shocking, really, shocking. In loads of ways. And I thought to myself, yeah, you know, it's not that long ago. And I was online the other day. I was trying to find a picture of Tom because his anniversary was coming up, anniversary of his death, Tom Murphy. And I was looking for pictures, and there was pictures of us in Adam and Paul, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so young. Oh my God, I can't put that photograph up with the state of me at the moment. And it does, you know, in a way it feels a long time ago, and yet other times I remember, I feel I remember every moment of the set of on being on set with it, you know, and how glorious it was and the fun we had making it.
And you were at the end of a relationship, yourself and Tom.
Yes,
that had lasted,
that's right,
8 to 10 years.
Yeah.
I believe it was on the telly recently, you sat down and watched it. What sort of emotions do you feel?
I watched a bit of it, you know. I watched towards the end of it, and there's a scene in it where they go back to the big flats in Ballymun that were there, no longer there, of course, and they accidentally have heroin given to them, but just before it, they've reached the rock bottom, and Tom's character just sits down and he goes, "I'm going to die," and I hadn't remembered that line was in it, and I was like, "Oh my God!" But I also got to look at how glorious he was in it, and it still hurts, you know. Anybody who knows, you know, having lost somebody they love dearly, it never really goes away, you know. It stays with you, but it transforms itself as you go along and you learn to deal with it better, I suppose.
You're from a large family.
Very large. Yes. 10.
Yeah, 9. I'm from 9. Where were you in that family?
I'm number 8. Where are you?
I'm third eldest.
Oh, yeah.
So how is that positioning affected
you? So your parents
you?
Made all the mistakes with the first few, I presume.
Yes, and the first two, the yes,
ones,
yes, yes.
The ones later in the family are kind of perfect. But
well, no, that you say that. The youngest in our family is the most well-adjusted by a long shot. Yeah.
Yeah, because I think there's something about you also spend a lot of time watching the older members of your family, and you might see, you know, okay, you know, you know, you can understand how to deal with people. And I think it does, there is a lot to be said. I think we're probably more diplomatic, the later ones in the family.
Right.
My family will kill me now.
And on family, you're a self-confessed cat parent.
I am a cat parent.
And Delia.
Delia.
And where's Delia when you're on stage?
When I'm on stage and when I'm over in London, because I've been in London nearly for the whole year, I have somebody come and live in my apartment and look after Delia.
Nice.
And be a parent. But they've done things like that I wouldn't have done. They built cat furniture and put it on the walls so she can climb up on the walls and nest on a little shelf up on the walls.
Right.
So it's like, really, it's her gaff now.
And when you're texting me, you know Niamh, she used to be a neighbour of yours. She's,
yes, I do.
Producing the show today. And she has taken to toothbrushing her cat, and seemingly it mimics what some sort of grooming the cats do to each other.
And I can honestly say, if I tried to put a toothbrush in my cat's face,
it's not for brushing their teeth. It's for grooming them. You brush their hair with it.
Oh well, like I got a brush for the cat, and she absolutely loves it. But I've seen videos online of people actually brushing their cat's teeth.
No.
Like if I tried that with my cat, she'd tear
the
face off.
That's not natural.
No, it isn't natural.
No. Very enjoyable. Was at it yesterday at the Odeon in Blanchardstown, Mairead W. I really enjoyed it. I wasn't expecting to. I don't know why I wasn't expecting to, but I really enjoyed the Miracle Club. The acting is amazing, and I cried a couple of times, which is always a good sign, I think. You know, if it's written well enough to reach that level
and
of emotion.
I just think it's lovely to see those women, in the centre, those four women, including Aggie, but, you know, Maggie and Kathy and Laura, just absolutely brilliant talent, you know. And then there's the great male talent in it as well, Stephen Ray is in it, and Niall Buggy,
and it's Marco Halloran.
Directed by Paddy Sullivan, and Marco Halloran playing a lovely priest.
And the Miracle Club is in cinemas now. Mark, lovely talking to you.
Lovely talking to you.
And good luck with the rest of the run of Portia Coughlin in the Almeida Theatre in London. See you now. Bye now.
Cheers.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.